So we're looking at 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, starting at verse 1, and the editors of the NIV have given it the heading, Living to Please God. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honourable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Amen. My friends, one of the most significant events for any couple is the birth of a little baby. It's just so special and so wonderful to have a new addition to the family, to see a new life come into the world. But as special and as wonderful as that may be, we all know that a baby's birth is not the end of the story. It's not as though parents bring home their little bundle of joy from the hospital and they put them down and then they turn and say to each other, well, our work here is now done. Of course not, because birth is not the end of the story, but it's just the very beginning. Because from that point onward, they will work tirelessly every single day to raise their child and to help them to learn and to develop and to grow. But it's just like that with our salvation. For quite a few sermons now in this Living Theology series, we've been looking at what happens at the beginning, at that time when we are born again. And so we have already thought about the call of the gospel, about how we're regenerated and converted, how we've been united with Christ, justified in the Lord's sight, and adopted into his family. And that's what Reuben talked to us about last week. And there is, quite frankly, nothing more special and more wonderful than this. But yet, despite what some may think, this is also not the end of the story. For once we are born again, there is still so much more to be done. For just as with a baby, we too need to learn and develop and grow. And so we must realize that just because we are saved and our salvation is secure, that doesn't mean the work of salvation is complete. We must realize, my friends, and this is just so important for us, we must realize that our God is not finished with us yet. So that brings us to the next topic in our series. For this ongoing spiritual growth that happens in our lives is what we call sanctification. Sanctification is another of those big theological words. But let me tell you this afternoon that it is a beautiful word. And it is a vital word. And so we want to spend some time in the Bible together to help us better grasp what sanctification is all about. So we begin with the basic question of what? What actually is sanctification? And we need to understand that it is inseparably tied to the concept of holiness. We know, first of all, and we sang about that only a moment ago, we know that the Lord our God is holy. He is completely separate from anything evil or sinful. He is perfect and pure in all of his ways. In Exodus chapter 15, it says, "Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" But if he is our God and we are his people, then it follows that we too are called to be holy. In Leviticus 19, God himself declares to us, "Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And here lies the most terrible problem of all. Because you see, we're not holy, are we? But sinful. And as a result, we're cut off from the Lord and from his love and from his blessings and from his heaven. But yet here also lies the most incredible rescue of all. Because God, in his abundant grace, has done what we could never do. For he himself deals with our sin and he makes us holy. That's why Jesus died for us on the cross. And thus all those who believe are marvelously and eternally reconciled to the Lord. And it's this idea of being made holy that's at the very heart of sanctification. I mean, we could in fact call it holification. It's all about evil, sinful people being made perfect and pure before God. But at this point, it's important for us to understand that the Bible uses this word in two different ways. You see, first of all, it's sometimes used to describe what happened to us in the past, at the time of our conversion. And so, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." In this passage, sanctification refers to the fact that by the blood of Christ, we've had all our sins forgiven and been declared completely and permanently holy in God's sight. And so on this occasion, the word sanctified has basically the same meaning as justified or justification. And this is something that Reuben preached on a couple of weeks ago. And it's not what we're focusing on tonight. However, more often the Bible uses this word to describe something else. It uses it to describe an ongoing process that is happening in our lives right now. For we all know that even though in Christ we have been washed clean and declared completely and permanently holy in God's sight, that in the reality of daily living, we still struggle with sin. And we're far from being righteous in all that we do. And I hope you can understand the difference here. By the grace of God, we have been clothed in the perfect holiness of Jesus Christ. But yet in actual daily life, we're still falling short of what God desires. But the point is, my friends, that the Bible tells us that this is changing. And our own experience tells us that this is changing. For like a little baby, we're slowly but surely learning and developing and growing. We're learning and developing and growing in our own personal holiness. And so our actual lives are progressively coming in line with what we've already been declared to be in Christ. Or to put it very simply, my friends, we are becoming what we are. And it's this glorious process which the Bible most commonly describes as sanctification. And so in theology, this has become the primary use of this word. And this is also the focus of our message here tonight. So where do we see this in the Bible? Well, we see it described, for example, in the passage we've just read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 3, Paul says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." Now, this is not now speaking of something in the past, is it? But something that's happening in the present. Saved people are being sanctified. And what does Paul mean by that? Well, listen to verse 1. He says, "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more." Sanctification is basically living to please God and doing so more and more and more. Or listen to verse 7. It says, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." Sanctification, my friends, is deeply desiring and increasingly living a life that is holy, because that is what pleases the Lord. We can also think of 1 Peter chapter 1, where Peter writes, "To God's elect who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood." Sanctification is learning to obey our Lord and Saviour Jesus. So friends, this is what we mean by this word. It describes what happens to us after we've been born again. It's that ongoing process by which we grow in holiness and increasingly learn to please and to obey our God. But then next we have the question of how. How do we actually grow in this? What does it entail? Well, my friends, the Bible tells us that there are two sides to this. You see, on the one hand, we're told that sanctification involves fighting against our sin. Did you notice in our text that immediately after saying it is God's will that you should be sanctified, Paul goes on to give a very specific example, the example of sexual sin. And so in verses 3 to 6, he says things like, "You should avoid sexual immorality, not be living in passionate lust like the pagans. In this matter," he says, "no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister." Sexual immorality is just one of the sinful behaviours we must strive to remove from our life. We see similar sentiments in Galatians chapter 5. You may know that chapter. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul speaks of the freedom that we have in Christ, that because of the cross of Jesus, we are free from the guilt and the condemnation of sin. But then what does he say next? He says, "But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh." And then he adds this. He says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality," there it is again. But he adds a number of other things. He says, "Impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like." On the one hand, sanctification clearly involves fighting against the sin that lingers in our lives. But on the other hand, it also involves embracing righteous behaviour instead. So, back in our text again, Paul not only tells the Thessalonians what not to do, but what they should do instead. Verse 4, he says, "That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honourable." Later on, in verses 9 to 12, he provides some other examples. He says, "Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other." And he says, "Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more." And he urges them to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and work with your hands so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. And if we go again to Galatians 5, we see the same pattern. Not only does Paul describe those acts of the flesh that we are to put off, but he also describes the fruit of the Spirit that is to be put on. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so there are two sides, my friends, to the question of how. We must first fight against the sin in our lives, and secondly, we must embrace holy living. And we see both of those things put side by side in Ephesians chapter 4. There we read these words. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That, my friends, is how sanctification takes place. But then thirdly, we must also address the question of who. For whilst it is clear that we must grow in holiness, who causes that to happen? And again, there's two sides to the story. You see, my friends, we need to understand very clearly that the Bible tells us that sanctification is the work of God. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just one chapter after our text, it says this: May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. It couldn't be any clearer, could it? It is the Lord who sanctifies us. Or think of Hebrews chapter 13. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. Or Titus chapter 2. Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Friends, in and of ourselves, we're simply unable to fight against sin, nor to live holy lives. It's only God through Christ, by his Holy Spirit, who can work this within us. On our own, we would only go backwards. It's only the Lord who can make us grow. But yet the Bible also tells us that at the very same time, we're responsible to take action, to keep in step with the Spirit, to cooperate with the work the Lord is doing in our lives. We can't just sit back and make no effort, because of course, my friends, we are compelled by his grace to do all we can to live for him. And so in our text from Thessalonians, we're urged from beginning to end to live in order to please God, and to do so more and more. And in Galatians, we're urged to avoid those acts of the flesh and to produce that fruit of the Spirit. Or think of Romans chapter 6. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we just go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. The Lord's message is that sanctification is both his work and ours. And we see that brought together so amazingly in Philippians chapter 2. And as we read this, just think about the two parts here sitting side by side. Paul writes, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Do you see it? We must obey and work, but yet at the very same time, it is God who is working in us. Sanctification is both the Lord's work and our own. But finally, we need to think about the question of when. When does sanctification take place? Well, the starting point is obvious. It begins at the moment we are saved. And we can even say that at that moment, our sanctification kicks off with a bang. For when the Lord first opens our eyes to see our own sin, and when we first understand the absolute wonder of his grace, and when we are first filled with his Holy Spirit, well, an amazing transformation takes place. But the point is that that transformation does not end there, but it continues from that day onward. But the harder question is, when does the process finish? You see, my friends, there's some who believe that their sanctification has already ended because they think they're just not growing anymore. They no longer see any progress, and they think that that's okay. They just accept the sins that remain in their life, and they're satisfied that they're satisfied with their level of holiness. They think no further effort is needed. Well, may that never be. My friends, God makes it clear that he will keep working on every single one of us until the day we die. And so we should never be satisfied, but rather we should always be filled with a deep longing to draw even closer to the Lord and to please him more each day. But perhaps even more concerning with this is that there are others who believe that their sanctification has ended because they've actually reached perfection in this life. They honestly think that they no longer sin. They honestly think they live exactly as God desires. Maybe you've met people with tendencies like this. I know that I have. And there's even whole churches and whole movements who promote this way of thinking. But there are two problems with this. First of all, the Bible tells us that it isn't true. Whilst it always holds perfection before us as our ultimate goal, it also tells us that we fall short. 1 John chapter 1, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But of course, the other problem is that life tells us that it isn't true. For the irony is that those who believe themselves to be perfect, to always be right, to be never to blame, well, sadly, they're often the very ones whose imperfections are the most obvious to those around them. No, my friends, our sanctification will not be complete in this life. We will never run out of ways to grow, but our God is going to keep on working on us until our final day. And only then will the process be finalized as he makes us perfect at last. 1 John chapter 3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, this afternoon we've considered what the Bible teaches us about sanctification. But how should we now respond? What should we take away with us tonight? Well, first of all, I truly hope that through this message we might have understood sanctification just a little better. It's different to justification. Justification, which describes how in Christ we're declared completely holy in God's sight. But rather, sanctification is an ongoing process as we actually become more and more holy in our daily lives, increasingly becoming what we are in Christ. It happens as we both fight against sin and embrace the life God intends. It comes about as both the Lord Himself works within us and as we desire to be changed by Him. It begins at the very moment that we are saved, and it continues until we take our final breath. But you know, I hope this message might not just help us to understand sanctification, but also that we would learn to rejoice in it. For what a wonderful thing it is to know that the Lord is not finished with us yet. And we need to remember that just as with a newborn baby, this growth, it's natural, it's healthy, it's wonderful. It would be terrible if we were still living the same way we did before we were saved, or even the way we were when we were saved. But God, in His grace, He's improving us every day. He is drawing us closer to Himself. He is renewing us in His own image. He is giving us the holy life that He created for us. And it truly is a beautiful thing. Let's not resent it or resist it, but let's glory in the fact that God Himself is changing us. He's increasing our holiness. And He is preparing us for eternal life in His presence. My friend, sanctification is His ongoing gift of love for His children. But finally, I hope that as a result of this afternoon, what we might be even more motivated to pray for sanctification and to work for it tirelessly in our own lives. We don't do this thinking that we must do so in order to earn salvation, but because we want, out of gratitude, to respond to the salvation that is already ours. And we don't do this thinking that we just have to toil away and achieve it in our own strength, but knowing that it's the Holy Spirit who's powerfully at work within us, supplying all that we need. My friends, we truly do serve a holy God, a God who has declared us holy in His sight and who is now working His holiness within us in real life. May we truly experience that more and more every day. Let's pray. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we want to pray tonight that You would help us to grasp more and more the wonder of Your salvation. Lord, how glorious it is. But Lord, as we do so, we pray that we might also realize that our salvation is not just something in the past, but it is something that continues even now. And Lord, for that reason, we thank You for revealing to us the glory of sanctification. Of the fact that You are not finished with us yet. Lord, we thank You that in Your grace, You are growing us more and more. And Lord, we pray that we would rejoice in that. Lord, that we would rejoice in the fact that You are giving us the life that You always intended. And Lord, we pray that we might embrace that life and take it in both hands and be so glad that You are changing us and that we can see Your work within us. But Lord, we pray also, help us to continually strive. Let us never rest on our laurels, but let us always seek to honor You in all that we do. Father, we thank You for Your grace in saving us, but also Your grace in changing us. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.